This morning reading comes to us from the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. It seems like a lifetime ago, but apparently it was actually just last month, when my kids and I met up with my mother's in-law at Walt Disney World. And for the first time, we visited Animal Kingdom. We went to the Avatar Land and experienced a sensory-filled walk through the land of the Na'vi, including two really cool rides, which I'd highly recommend, even though the lines are really long. But if anyone ever goes out in public again, I hope you will make the trek to Florida and go to Animal Kingdom and check out that Avatar land and experience all the colors and lights and beauty of it. So this week, my daughter begged me to watch the movie. I didn't remember much of it. I hadn't actually seen Avatar since it came out way back in 2009, but it really is such a great film, though I'd probably refrain from showing it to a five-year-old. That said, she was begging. She really wanted to see it, and we had time on our hands. What struck me about the film was the connection the Na'vi people had with the land, the trees, the other beings, and the Iwa, what they called their deity. The human beings of the film didn't understand it. They couldn't believe it, and for the most part, they failed to see the connection that each being had with the other. And yet this film, which is a cautionary tale for humanity and our relationship with the environment, also poses interesting and important theological questions. As we continue our journey to I Am, we also are asking important and interesting theological questions. And it seems to me that in such a time as this, we should explore theological questions because we're all holding a lot right now. But it is in times such as these that we ask ourselves, where is God? And if we see God as some otherworldly being that exists beyond ourselves, beyond our world, we might feel abandoned. We might feel more isolated than we already do. Or we might feel worse, as though God is punishing us, causing this plague to surge through humanity. How we articulate our theology matters in times such as these, because we can either feel disconnected from God, abandoned by God, punished by God, or we can feel connected to God, partnered with God, united to that very God among us and in us. So you might imagine by the songs that we've sung and the scripture read that I'm not advocating for a God that is disconnected and removed. But rather, I'd like to explore the idea that the I Am is in all. And I think that the theological worldview of the Na'vi in the film Avatar, though certainly different from my own theological perspective, illustrates this concept of God in all. The I Am is in all. Over the last several weeks, we've explored biblical understandings of God, beginning with Moses' experience of God in the burning bush and God's affirmation, the simple I Am, that implies that God cannot be encapsulated in a name or stuffed into a box. God is. Ultimately, we've been unpacking what that means week after week as we explore I Am. them in God, who God is, what God is in our lives. I am in Jesus, in humanity, our own selves as individuals, and as we live out our lives in community. Today we look even further than the I am in an individual like Jesus, or the I am in us as individuals, or even the I am in us as a collective, and we look at the I am in all. I think the Navi people got this in a mystical way that recalls the mystics of our Christian tradition and other mystical traditions the world over, be it the Jewish mystical tradition of Kabbalah, or the Muslim mystical Sufi tradition, or the Hindu understanding of Krishna or Vishnu incarnated in the world. Mystical understandings differ, but the union of God with humanity or with the world is not a unique concept. It's one that is embraced throughout the world and its religions. God is not other. Not some deity that exists somewhere beyond our world, or that at one time permeated our world, that transcendent one, but rather not one, but the one. The one that is part of all. God in all. Now that's not to say that God is all. There is a theological perspective called pantheism that thinks that God is all things and all things are God. But I'm talking about panentheism, all is in God, or God is in all things. Now, to be honest, this concept has evolved over time, so there are not a whole lot of scriptural passages that directly reflect this theological perspective in our Bible. And yet, I definitely do not think it is entirely absent either. If you look at this morning's scripture out of the Epistle to the Ephesians, we see a theological affirmation that proclaims God is one, and that that one is above all, through all, and in all. The very definition of panentheism. So what does that mean? Mystical theologian Matthew Fox writes, "As the ocean is in the fish, and the fish are in God, so God is in everything, and everything is in God." Kind of reminded me of Romans chapter 11. In verse 36 says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things." So the ocean is in the fish, and the fish are in the ocean, and God is in the ocean, and God is in the fish. Everything is in God, and God is in everything. Does not mean that you can pray to the fish as though they were God, although there is a recognition of the divine in the fish. In similar ways, that movie Avatar recognized that the Iwa, their God, is in all beings. There's a life force that's bigger than just me in me, and that same life force is in other beings, like the fish or the animals or even the life force of a tree. What the humans of that film failed to recognize was that in each being, the divine lived. And therefore, you had to respect the divine and look for the lessons of Iwa, the name of their God, in each being. Saint Francis of Assisi seemed to really tap into this recognition of the connection between himself and the animals. Even his Canticle of the Sun is a recognition that brother sun and sister moon are somehow related to one another and to him himself, to the divine, that all are a part of this divine family, this oneness of God. Now, it does not mean, once more, that we ourselves are God. This is something particularly important to recognize in our society, especially in an era where humanity thinks it can rule over the earth. The very reflection, if not the embodiment of a God that is all powerful to lord that power over everything else. No, we are not God. But rather, we must recognize that the divine is in all things means that we must cherish one another, other beings, and perhaps, in fact, even the earth itself. And that's what the Na'vi understood in their realm and their theological perspective. Process theology embraces this idea of God in all in a way that demands that we recognize our co-creative powers with God. Process theology trades the characteristic of an omnipotent God to affirm an all-good God. That means that God does not willingly withhold action in the world, but rather God is in the world, active in us. So that when we act for the good of creation, we act with God, as agents of God, as God even in us, that's acting in us and acting through us. Therefore, God is not responsible for the bad things of this world. God did not cause COVID-19. God did not punish humanity with a plague upon the world. This is not due to our bad behavior. It is not because God is punishing gays, somehow the favorite scapegoat of our radically right Christian brothers and sisters. This is not a punishment from God to teach us a lesson. But I think that COVID-19 can teach us a lesson. But process theology says that even as God is not responsible for this pandemic, that does not mean that God is absent from our experience of it. Because God is in us, in all, acting through us to impact the world. Innate in the concept of process theology is agency, that we must be active and willing participants, that God cannot force us to act. We must do this out of a desire to unite with God, to work for the betterment of creation, not because God forces us to, as though God, the master puppeteer, pulls our strings and we then dance, but rather because God compels us out of our own desire to do God's will. You can probably guess why this makes sense to me. It explains why God would not act when bad things happen to good people. It explains why God would not have intervened during the Holocaust and why God is not swooping in to stop the coronavirus today. But it does not mean that God does not exist or that God is impotent. Because even as I would trade omnipotence, for the assurance of goodness, I do not believe that God is without power, that God is impotent. In fact, I think God is very powerful. And I believe that power can be felt in our world. I can feel it in others and I can feel it in myself. We've already talked about the light of God in us when Jesus said that you are the light of the world. We talked about God in us as the living body of Christ, and today we talk about it in all. Because I feel the power of God not only in humanity, but also throughout creation. I feel it so powerfully when I dig my toes into warm sand with a vast ocean before me. Or even more so when I'm in that ocean, much like the fish that Matthew Fox describes. I think of countless times snorkeling where I can hear my own breath, like the ruach of the spirit, so much louder than the outside world beyond me, muffled in its way. With each breath, I am pulled deeper and deeper into the ocean, more deeply connected to it, to the fish that swim around me, of the ocean, in the ocean, of God, in God, God in me. Have you ever experienced moments like those mystical union moments of God in you while you're in creation? How powerful a God that can permeate creation and us. When I think about all of this in this context of disconnection, this era of social distancing, I think about how important it is that we play our part in co-creation. Because God is not going to swoop in and stop this virus. But we have an important role in stopping this virus. Our actions right now matter. What we do has an effect on ourselves and our neighbors. If we each do our part, scientists tell us that we can reduce exposure and we can save one another. Scientists tell us we can save one another. God tells us that we matter to one another, that we are connected to one another. We must act on behalf of humanity, on behalf of God. We're already seeing the effects of our lack of our awareness, our failure to do our collective part. God needs us to act for good, to bring healing to this hurting world. So let us co-create with God. Let the I am in all act in us, in you, in me. And as we lament our inability to gather together, let us not lose heart. Because as we affirmed last week, God's house is not the church. God's people are. God's house is in us. God's temple is in us. God is on the loose in all. So let us worship God and all of creation by looking for the divine among us. Now, more than ever, we must recognize our connection to the oneness of all that is. To see God in the sunlight and the rain. To feel the divine in the chill of the night and the warmth of a beloved embrace. Go outside and breathe. Breathe in God and let God work in you, with you. Because God invites us to be agents of change, to save our world and save our humanity by recognizing the very divinity that unites us and connects us and calls us to good, the great I am, in Him, in you, in us. In all, I am. Amen. Amen.